Hey, how's it going? I'm Nick, the host of the Echo Academy podcast, a podcast where we tap into the world's collective wisdom and experience to learn how we can be more resilient. In this episode, I speak with psychology professor William Tov. I had a fascinating conversation with Will on what it means to really define well-being in everyday life. More importantly, how you can find well-being in your life. I think you'll really enjoy this conversation. So, without further ado, here's my chat with William Tov. Well, I suppose, Will, like, maybe the best place for us to start is really, you know, when it comes to measuring meaning, what got you interested in even trying to measure that, you know, especially in everyday life?
Yeah, psychologists and even lay people, they've been interested in meaning in life for many years. And when you think about meaning in life, it's things like having a sense of purpose in life. It's feeling like your existence matters, that your existence matters to other people, or that it matters to the community around you. And it can also mean, it's like the feeling that your life makes sense, you know, that the things that you're doing, that your experiences, they all fit together somehow. So this is like meaning in life. And when people talk about meaning in life, you know, some people say, yes, I have meaning in life. My life is very meaningful. And other people say, you know, my life has no meaning. I don't feel any meaning in my life. And it kind of like, for me, like it just raises two questions. Like, one is, you know, is it really like this dichotomous thing, like you either have it or you don't? Because my intuition is that actually it's like more of a continuum. Most people are somewhere in the middle. But that, you know, actually verify that, actually understand that people have shades of meaning that they experience in their life, we need to find some way to measure it, actually. And in psychology, we do that with self-report because, you know, we value the perspective of the individual. So the measurement question is important because, you know, I mean, it's not an either or thing. People experience different levels of meaning and it can go up and down. It can fluctuate from day to day. It can fluctuate in different stages of your life. But the day to day thing is most interesting to me because, you know, when we think about people who say they have meaning in life, I mean, the question is like, well, where are they getting it from? Like, where does it come from, right? It's not like you can go to the supermarket and pick up a box of meaning in life, right? it's something that you have to live your life, right? So meaning in life is what I think is it comes from the things that you are doing in your everyday life. It comes from your experiences in everyday life. So even though it is important to understand, you know, when people have a sense of meaning in life, we also need to understand, you know, how are they actually experiencing meaning in their everyday life? How are they actually experiencing it from moment to moment? Because that gives us the insights into, okay, well, what are the things that you are doing? And what are the kind of experiences that you are having that are giving you these kinds of, you know, that this sense, feeling that your life is meaningful?
Yeah, in your work so far, is it possible for someone to have a meaningless life and still be satisfied with it?
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting question, and so it's a tricky question because they're so strongly correlated with each other. Like people who say that their life is meaningful tend to feel like they tend to be satisfied with their life. They tend to have high life satisfaction. And so what I did in my research is actually kind of look at how these things play out in everyday experiences. And, you know, when we look at things like the emotions that they feel, feeling positive emotions, feeling negative emotions, you know, not surprisingly, when you feel good, you feel a lot of satisfaction and meaning. When you feel bad, this is where things start to get interesting, because when you feel bad, you will say that your day was dissatisfying, terrible. But when you ask how meaningful that day is, you start to get a lot of variation in how people answer that question. Some people say, not meaningful at all. Other people say, actually, as dissatisfying as the day was, it was still pretty meaningful. So what that tells us is that, you know, when it comes to satisfaction and meaning, for the good things that happen to us, they pretty much go together. You know, so when good things happen, people are going to be pretty satisfied, and they're going to have a pretty strong sense of meaning. It's really when bad things happen that you start to see some like complexity in the way people are thinking about their experiences. It's when the bad things happen is when they say that they are dissatisfied, but still today was meaningful. So in my data sets, you know, the other example that you brought up is actually people who say that they feel satisfied, but the day was meaningless. We get some of that. But I would say, like, on average, those kind of experiences are actually not so common, you know, just because, like, having feelings is such a strong cue. It's such a strong cue that people use when they're deciding how satisfied and how meaningful they are. So it's real complex.
Yeah. I'm really curious about the ones who have that minority of within your data set that say they have a satisfied life, even though a satisfied day or life or however you measure it, even though it was meaningless. Do they explain why? And if they do, what are the reasons for it?
Yeah, you know, it's a good question. I would say, you know, it's not something that I study too closely, but you know, I would say my intuition is that, you know, you can have a lot of enjoyable experiences that maybe aren't really connected to any of your future goals or important goals. And you'll say that the day is satisfying because it was enjoyable in that sense. But, you know, meaning sort of like requires you to connect your experiences to something beyond the present moment, you know. So, you know, if you spent all day watching comedies and, you know, I mean, that might have been enjoyable and it might have been satisfying in the sense that, you know, you liked what you were watching. But in terms of meaning, you know, that person may or may not have found that much meaning in that experience as a whole, because it's not clear whether, you know, spending all day long watching these comedies contributed to anything beyond that single day, right? So you know, you can have satisfying experiences, I guess, that maybe are just sort of like limited to that moment, that are limited to that day, and nothing much else follows from that experience. And I think when that happens, that's probably a situation where the person's sense of meaning is not going to be that strong.
Yeah. And this was one of the reasons why I actually, you know, really wanted to get in touch to understand what you know, because, you know, I've been asking myself that question, well, not a lot, but often from time to time, because sometimes I wonder whether it's possible to have a meaningless life but still feel complete, you know, because at the end of the day, there's the meaning we create is also, I mean, there's some element of the things we enjoy, but I also feel there's some element of the environment that we're in, you know. So in some ways, there is some element of it being dictated for us. And so I suppose my question as an extension of that is, does meaning arise from the circumstances that we're in, or is it more of a very intrinsic, natural thing that, you know, evolves as we do?
Yeah, you know, it's a good question. I mean, I would say it's a little bit of both. When I think about it, you know, and within psychology itself, this is becoming something like a theoretical discussion. You know, like traditionally, people have thought of meaning as something that, you know, people construct. Like you think about it, you reflect on your life, you sort of decide what makes your life meaningful. And, you know, and you sort of like construct this narrative like, okay, this is why my life is meaningful. These are the things that bring my life meaning. So that one's sort of like a conscious process. But I think lately there's sort of like one of the newer understandings of meaning is just this idea that, you know, a lot of the sources of meaning that we experience in our daily life are kind of like mundane, you know, like simple things. And, you know, because when we think about meaning, we think of, you know, like helping people, you know, achieving something really valuable, you know, really great, contributing to society, like these really lofty, worthwhile things that would make the front page of the newspaper. But, you know, like when people are reporting their sense of meaning in everyday life, like on average, people report that their life is fairly meaningful. You know, like it's not, maybe not like extremely meaningful, but more meaningful than not meaningful. You know, and I think like sort of understand what's going on there, we have to sort of like open our eyes a little bit and think about, you know, you know, what people do in their daily life and what are the sources of meaning in daily life. And one of those sources is just like what I mentioned earlier is the emotions that we feel, positive emotions. Just, you know, just having a pleasant meal, having a nice little chat with friends and family. You know, these little things that are pretty common in our everyday life actually may be another source of meaning. And part of that is that we don't always consciously construct our meaning. We don't always like consciously say, you know, hey, is my life meaningful today? Let me think about that. Yeah, I guess it is. Like for a lot of people, when they think about that question, it's a really quick answer. It's like, yeah, that's meaningful. Like, you know, why is it meaningful? And they might actually have a hard time explaining why, you know, and part of that is because there's sort of like, maybe like a somewhat intuitive level at which we have some sense of meaning. And part of that might be meaning in the sense of things making sense, you know. Like if you think about your everyday life, most of our experiences make sense. You go on the MRT, you know, you are going to take the MRT, you take out your card, you beep on the gantry, it flashes green, you walk in, and then you go down the escalator, right? You wait for the train to come, the doors open, you go on the train. I mean, like so much of our everyday life is makes sense to us. Like we sort of have an understanding of what's going to happen, what to expect. It's not like, you know, it never happens that you beep into the MRT station and then a clown comes out of nowhere and like, you know, says, welcome to the MRT. You know, like weird random things like that don't usually happen, right? There are terrible things that happen that people have a hard time explaining. But for the most part, in our everyday life, we have a good sense of what to expect in our daily life. So we're almost never caught off guard. And so what's going on there is sort of like another level of meaning that's sort of like very basic, very fundamental to our everyday experiences. And it's not a kind of meaning that we reflect on, like, consciously. It's just a sense of meaning that we have and that we can intuitively tell somebody, you know, like, yes, like, I feel like my life is meaningful. And it's only when the weirdest things happen to us that we, you know, we start to question that. Like, you know, does this make sense? It's sort of like, you know, it would be like trying to take a lift and pushing the button and nothing happening. And, but somebody comes along and they push a button and it lights up and, you know, and imagine if weird things like that happen where you don't feel like you have a sense of control over what's happening to you, or you have you just don't know what's going on. Then you will start to question your sense of meaning. You'll start to question whether things make sense. And so a lot of the meaning that we experience in everyday life is just this basic feeling of things making sense to us, that we generally have a decent expectation of what to expect.
I'm curious just from what you said. I mean, because from that basic level of meaning, it sounds that basic level for us is not very memorable. So I guess we don't really need to have a memorable life to have a meaningful one. Am I correct to say that, part one? And I guess the second part is, you know, I guess the satisfactions, I suppose, is increased if it's a memorable one.
Yeah, I do think that, you know, I do think that, like, memorable experiences, obviously, you know, some highly memorable experiences will be a part of people's life stories that they love to tell, and that, you know, kind of provide that foundation for their sense of meaning, you know, when they're explaining to people. Like, we all need to have, like, a narrative that's like coherent, right? And like a life story that we like to share with people that makes sense to us, like that is meaning, right? That is like making meaning out of your life experiences. But I do think like you know, those memorable experiences are only gonna be a minority of our experiences. Right, and a lot of our sense of meaning, you know, is fairly stable from day to day. Like most people don't have wild fluctuations in their sense of meaning. They can have experiences that are more meaningful and less meaningful, but their sense of meaning, how meaningful their lives are as a whole, are pretty stable. And you know, and I think a lot of that is because a lot of the things that we value, things like spending time with your family or spending time with, you know, people that you care and love, or spending time doing work that you really value, that you think is important. A lot of those hours are spent doing like really mundane things, right? Or they're just spent enjoying the time that you have with people. And there may be nothing, you know, specific that comes out of those experiences, but I think what's important there is that there's sort of like there's a cumulative effect over time, you know? Like, your relationship with the person is not based on a single social interaction, right? It's built over time, right?
Yeah.
And it's not like having like a fantastic dinner every single time. Like, having a relationship means having lots of pretty mundane dinners and mundane meals and having lots of mundane conversations. But that's the substance of a relationship, right? It's that everyday stuff. And it's the same thing with work. Like, you know, you're not gonna like be praised by your supervisor every day. You're not gonna hit a home run or make a big sale, or, you know, like make a big publication or whatever it is that counts as achievement. You know, that big achievement is not gonna happen every day. What gets you there are those little things that you're doing every day, right? That is part of your normal job. And then part of having a job and part of like having a career is doing these little things from day to day. So I think the memorable experiences are important to people, you know, because they're important for the narratives, they're important for the stories that we like to tell people, and those things are valuable. But, you know, the other parts of our, like the meaningfulness of our mundane lives, like that is, I feel like it's built on just those everyday little things that we're doing, right? And nothing that you particularly feel like you want to write home or call and tell anybody about, right? Like, you know, I just had dinner with my kids. Or anything happens, no, but I had dinner with them. Well, that's great. I'm happy for you. I'm happy for me too.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because, you know, as you're speaking, I start to think about it, and it's true. I at first I wanted to kind of highlight my experience in secondary school, or I guess, you know, if you came from the US high school, if you will. And, you know, for me, it was probably the most memorable in the sense that, you know, we were just a group that grew up together in, I suppose, the most malleable part of our lives. You know, we are so prone to change and to learning and stuff. And then as you started speaking about it being mundane, and I realized, yeah, actually it's true. You know, a lot of the days were really mundane, but then the peaks were incredible, you know, that made me remember it. But in order for me to experience those peaks and those high moments, I had to appreciate the long journey of fostering those relationships with my friends, to try new things, to tinker, to appreciate the mundane. So I suppose on some level, that meaning and that sense of good memory really came about because there was a lot of growth during that period. And so I suppose a lot of meaning comes when you experience growth.
I mean, and you know, just to go back briefly to what you say, like, yeah, I mean, what makes those peaks special is because they sort of like, they are built on a foundation of, you know, all these other experiences that you've had together that weren't necessarily the peaks, but it's like, it's not like you had these peak experiences with strangers, right? You had these peak experiences with like close friends, but that closeness is built through, you know, the everyday. Right, like that's the foundation that peak stands on, and growth. I think growth is something like growth experiences are often some of the more meaningful experiences that people have, and I think that's partly related to just this idea that, you know, a lot of the things that we find meaningful. I mean, one of those aspects is just how much does this experience contribute to your future, or how does it change the way you imagine your future. Basically, what are the implications of this experience for my future? You know, like when I ask my research participants, it's like, you know, to come up with some meaningful experiences. I mean, some of the really like strong examples are things like somebody said, "Oh, I became a citizen of Singapore." You know, like that was a meaningful experience. You can see how this person's future is different now. Somebody else said that their boyfriend proposed to her, right? Well, now her future is like imagining, you know, her long-term future is with this person, whereas like before that proposal, you know, who knows how she was imagining the future. So growth experiences are meaningful, I think, in a similar way, because, you know, you sort of, how you were then and how you are now is different. Right, like you feel like you've learned something, you've acquired something that going forward, your experiences are going to be a little bit different than they were in the past, you know, because now you have this knowledge or now you have the skill that maybe you didn't have before.
Yeah, and then I suppose the natural next question is how do we find out what gives us the most meaning so that we can devote our life, or, you know, the better part of our lives towards the things that bring us the most amount of meaning, and also I guess the highest level of joy, if you will.
Yeah, I guess that, I mean, what I would say is you have to pay attention. I mean, paying attention is, you know, it sounds simple and terse, but like it's actually something really hard to do, you know. And what I mean by that is really like pay attention to your experiences, pay attention to how they make you feel, pay attention to the context in which things are happening, because fundamentally, meaning is about seeing connections between things, about connections between your past, present, and future. And I think, you know, a lot of the meaning that we experience in our lives, you know, the ones that stand out maybe are those experiences where we see like, yes, this is something that, like, when this thing happened, like, my future, the course of my future changed a little bit, right? Or the way I imagined my future changed a little bit. And I think to bring that to a more basic level, you know, just thinking about, like what are the future implications of the things that you're doing? They're actually like experiments that show this. If you get people to imagine the future, and also if you get them to imagine the past as well, their sense of meaning in life actually increases, because it's something about like broadening your mindset so that you feel some sense of connectedness between, you know, the past, the present, and the future, that makes people feel like they have meaning, like there's a sense of direction in their lives. And so like just applying that to the things that you're doing and thinking about, you know, the implications of the things that you're doing, like why am I doing it? What is this building towards? So I would say sort of like, you know, sort of keeping the mind, you know, for the future is one thing that's important. But I think the other thing is also sort of like thinking about what it is that you really care about, that you really value. So those are like the important goals and the important values that we have. And then what are the things that you can do to support those goals and values? And I think that, you know, that will be important for, I think, well, one, that's important because, you know, if it's something that you care about, something that you think is important, you're probably going to be more likely to enjoy doing it, you know? And that's sort of the idea behind finding your passion, like, you know, doing work that you're passionate about. The assumption there is like, we are going to enjoy it more. It's going to mean more to us, you know, because we care about it. So, you know, doing something that you care about, that you feel is important, that can sort of like facilitate this positive emotion, you know, just the chances that you will feel positive about what you're doing. And, you know, as I've been saying, like that feeling of happiness, that feeling, those positive feelings are actually an important signal to us that we're doing something meaningful. But then the other reason why it matters that you should be doing something, working on something that you care about or that's important to you, is because even when things don't go, you know, the way you expect them to go, even when things get tough, you're going to be more likely to persist because you care, right? Because it is important. So you're not going to give up. You're not going to quit like so easily. Like students, you know, students ask me sometimes about like graduate school, you know, like after I have students who are graduating from university and they think about, you know, whether they should go on to pursue a PhD in psychology and, you know, further their studies. And, you know, one of the things I found is like, you know, you have to make sure that you have a research interest that you're passionate about, you know, that it's something that you really want to know the answer to, because, you know, doing graduate work, doing research, doing, you know, science, there's so much room for failure. You know, there's so many opportunities to fail. There's so many times when things are not going to, you can do an experiment, it's not going to turn out the way that you expect. And the only thing that's going to keep you going is that you care so much to know what the answer is, that, you know, you keep working on it, you keep working towards it.
Right. Wow, that's an interesting thing about graduate school. I don't think many people hear that answer enough. So it's a good one to remind people of. Is there a way to measure meaning beyond feelings though? Because I think, you know, feeling is one thing, right? But I suppose in some ways feelings can be fleeting, in the sense that when it goes away, sometimes you wonder if there's meaning in the thing you do. So are there other things that can serve as a barometer, if you will, to kind of say like, oh, okay, you know, I still have meaning in my life.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's good that you ask the question, if how people can sort of like evaluate their sense of meaning, apart from the feelings, right? And I think like it goes back to maybe some of the things I was saying earlier, like, sort of like reflecting on the things that you are doing and, how much are they contributing to these goals that you care about that are really valuable to you. And I mean, when I say goals, it sounds like there's an endpoint, but, I mean, some goals are things like getting a PhD where there's a concrete outcome that you're working towards. But, there are a lot of goals that are more like values that are some people call them B goals. It's like being a good father, for example, or being a good friend. Like, these goals are not achieved with like a single thing, right? They require like ongoing action and behavior. And so I think thinking about those experiences that you're having and the things that you're doing and that question of connection. So how much are these things connected to those things? I think that is one way that people can sort of like get that sense, like, get that check, that what they're doing is still meaningful to them. Like, even if things don't feel great, because a lot of the things that we value, like, not every part of that is going to be enjoyable, right? Every parent knows that, like, kids are great, they're fun to hang around with, but you got to change dirty diapers and they sometimes throw tantrums. And, like, it's not all like a party, but it's if it's something that you care about, it's something that you value, then there's no question that, it's meaningful, You roll up that diaper, you throw it in the trash can, and you pat yourself on the back.
What an analogy for life.
That's right, yes.
You mentioned a lot of things, but, I thought a good ending question to this topic is really, what is one thing we can all do today to really, put ourselves towards the path of a more meaningful life?
Yeah, I guess like it's really important to reflect to a certain extent and, sort of take stock of the things that you really care about. And I think it can be hard to do, especially for people who are working, professionals, or just working, because we have a tendency to just get so busy with our jobs and our lives because there's always like deadlines, right? And the thing about deadlines is deadlines can kind of like trip you up, like in the sense that they sort of like take over your attention. Like, when a deadline is coming up, like we tend to kind of like think like, okay, there's just this deadline that I have to meet. And then like a lot of these other important things that are also valuable to us sort of get pushed to the side, right? And we do what we need to do and we meet the deadline, and then it's just sort of like, yeah, okay, I met the deadline, so what, And I think that it's really important to sort of like try to step out of that, because it can be such a loop, such a cycle, right? So it's really important to kind of like step out of that and sort of like reflect on like, what are the things that I want to be doing, the next few weeks or the next few months, and try to, try to carve out that time to be working on those things. Because if you just live your life being ruled by the deadlines, it's going to be so easy to, time is going to pass so fast, and you'll look back and say, oh shoot, I never did I never did write that email that I said I was going to write to my old high school friend, or, I never got back into the gym and built up my workout routine, So I think it's really important to kind of step out of that cycle and you know, sort of like, yeah, keep your eye on the bigger picture and make sure that, you know, you make that time for the things that you do care about, that you do value. I mean, some of it is like we have no choice, right? Everybody's got jobs and they have deadlines, but, you know, trying to make sure that you don't let it take over, I think is really important.
Yeah. I like that. I like that a lot, which is a nice segue to my final question for you, Will, which is a question I really enjoy asking all my guests because it's a rather reflective one. What life lesson has taken you the longest to learn?
So for me, I think it would be learning how to say no. I think it's something I'm still trying to learn, you know, it's learning how to say no, to decline requests from people. And I think as an academic, it's so easy to fill up your schedule. You know, you have obligations to students, you have obligations to research collaborators, you have obligations to university administrators. And like, for me, it's like really tough because I genuinely like helping people, you know? And so like when I'm getting requests, you know, to be on this committee or that committee or to help out with this project or that project, like my first inclination is always to say yes. And when I was younger, it was a lot easier to just say yes and fill up my schedule and be busy. But, you know, like now having a wife, having two kids, like I really feel just how limited time is, you know, like it's a lot different now because like anything that I say yes to, it could potentially be taking away time from like spending with my family, you know, and doing these things that I do care about that matter a lot to me. And a lot of these are things that don't have deadlines, you know? So that ties back into what I was saying earlier. It's like, technically there's no deadline on the time you spend with your family, but actually there is a deadline in the sense that like my kids aren't going to be the same age forever. You know, I have a son who's 2 years old and I have a daughter who's 6 years old, and like they enjoy spending time with me and my wife. But when they become teenagers, it may not be the same way, you know? yeah. So, you know, so sometimes it's hard to remember that, you know, like some of the things that we don't think have deadlines, that doesn't mean that the window of time is unlimited, you know? There are limited opportunities to have certain kinds of experiences. And I think like I appreciate that now, you know, like at the stage of life that I'm in, that it has made learning how to say no like really important. You know, it's not about being mean. It's really about trying to make sure that, you know, like that you make the time for the things that you really care about, that for your priorities, and maybe like getting your priorities right.
Yeah, I really like the part where, because I never thought of it that way. I mean, I suppose on some level, yes, we all do, but to recognize that even though there's no deadline, there isn't an infinite timeline for certain things. So I'm going to remember that and try to reassess. But having said that, you know, I just want to thank you for saying yes to me and to finding some time out of your day to do this. I really appreciate it. I learned a lot, and you know, it's something I'm very sure, you know, especially the concept of meaning, that my listeners will really enjoy.
Yeah, well, thanks a lot, Nick. Thanks for inviting me, and it was a pleasure, you know, having this conversation with you.